The reading is taken from Genesis chapter 20, and it's on page 20 of the church Bibles. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." Now Abimelech had not gone near her, so he said, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all who belong to you will die." Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should never be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this?" Abraham replied, "I said to myself, 'There is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, 'This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother.' Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'My land is before you. Live wherever you like.' To Sarah, he said, 'I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated.' Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves, so they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving, because of Abraham's wife, Sarah." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, in Wembley, there's an Indian restaurant called Deja Vu. I quite like to go there twice, and on the second time to see if the head waiter says, "Haven't I seen you before?" Well, if you listened to the sermon on Genesis chapter 12 a few weeks ago, you might be having a feeling of déjà vu, because in that chapter, Abraham did what he's doing in this chapter, misleading people into thinking that his wife Sarah was not his wife. The first two verses of chapter 20 say, "Now Abraham moved on there from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he lived in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, 'She is my sister.' Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her." Now there are some skeptical biblical commentators who think that the Bible mistakenly duplicates one story into two here. After all, they reason, surely Abraham would not make the same blunder twice. Would he? I mean, whoever makes the same mistake twice? I'm sure nobody here has. I'm sure none of us would be so silly as to repeat an unwise action or give in to a weakness more than once. Of course, a moment's honest reflection will reveal that much of what we do, of which we're not proud, which spoils our lives, damages relationships, leaves feelings of regret, are things that form a pattern. They're habits, they're compulsive tendencies. They're the fruit of deeply felt insecurities, fears, or maybe trauma. They are unhealthy coping mechanisms, which we fall back on time and time again, even though they cause us and those around us harm. What are these coping mechanisms? Well, it might be addictive escapism, it might be alcohol, drugs, gaming, digital media, binging on food, compulsively acquiring things, hoarding. For some, it might be deliberate self-harm or other destructive behavior. It might be that we emotionally shut down, we just disengage, or we build walls of defense around us. We might choose to live in a fantasy world, to take refuge in lies, half-truths, exaggeration, denial, avoidance, procrastination. We might express anger towards others as a way of giving us the temporary and illusionary feeling of power and pushing others away from us. Or we might express anger inwardly at ourselves with negative self-talk or perfectionist demands. We might isolate ourselves and withdraw into our shells. And these unhealthy coping mechanisms, they don't make our lives better, they make it worse. Addiction eventually consumes us. Anger and reckless living destroy what's good. Berating ourselves, telling ourselves how rubbish we are, just worsens our self-esteem, diminishes us. Isolation leads to despairing loneliness. Avoidance and denial, they seem to work fine until we inevitably slam into reality. Abraham was a human being, just like us. His problem was anxiety. Even though he'd been promised many descendants by God, Abraham feared that he would be killed by powerful rulers who wanted his beautiful wife Sarah for themselves. Now, the idea that he could pass off Sarah as his sister, that wasn't a spur of the moment thing. It was a pattern he got into. It was something he decided to do from the beginning. He made a kind of ungodly arrangement, or soul tie, we might call it, with Sarah, that wherever they would go to, she would say she was his sister. He pressured her into it, really. He said, if you love me, you'll do this for me. And despite all God's promises and his faithfulness, this pattern of behavior continued. Just a little while before he went to the Negev and lived for a while in Gerar, which is, you know, roughly where Gaza is today, God had told Abraham that Sarah would have a son by the same time next year. You remember the visit of the three men, two of whom were angels and one was the Lord. What greater reassurance could Abraham have been given about the future? But we're told that when he changes location, the old fears reemerge. You see, getting older, having new experiences, do not by themselves necessarily mean we progress in faith, trust, and wisdom. These things don't come automatically just through age. They come through humble repentance.